So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to spend most of our time, in Ephesians chapter 5. I am looking forward to next week. I don't know all of the things that we have scheduled, but looking forward to enjoying some time of fellowship with you. What we're going to do next Sunday with the ice cream social is after the dinner, we'll move to the ice cream part of our thing. And then the games part, you can change clothes and all that kind of stuff for the ice cream and just enjoy and relax and whatever. And the game stuff, what we'll do then is come back in here and have our singing testimony type of service where it's just basically special music and we laugh and sing and some, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It really is. It's one of my favorite things that we do. And then we'll do the games and things with whatever time is left in the evening so that you can stay as long as you want and you don't have to worry about all of that. So I know it's a different schedule, so we're just trying to accommodate the different schedule and make it all happen. All right. I wish this were my illustration. It's not, but you may have seen it before, but I had never seen it before until this week. So here you go. That is going to represent walking in the flesh. And this is going to represent walking, how do you think? In the spirit. If you remember Jim Berg's book, if you've ever done Changed Into His Image, or read that book, then try to remember back. What is Jim Berg's definition for walking in the spirit? It is walking according to what? Anybody remember? The Word of God. That's exactly right. Walking according to the Word of God. And walking in the flesh is walking how then? According to? No, not the world. This is, he really makes it very easy for us to understand. It's walking according to feelings. Feelings. Those of you who can remember the 70s, that's a bad nightmare, I know. But anyway. Oh, by the way, welcome back, Jordan. Good to have you back from Alaska with his friend Tori and kind of surprised everybody by walking in tonight. So welcome back. Let's go to the Lord. We're going to be in, I'm sorry, let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read one verse. Then we'll go to the Lord and do a study here tonight. And be not drunk with, I'm sorry, verse 18, I'll tell you that. How about that sound? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us as we look at this basic truth in your word tonight. Help us to glean from it, to understand it, to be able to apply it to our own hearts and lives, to be able to see what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk according to the Word of God, rather than to walk in our flesh. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. In order for us to walk in the Spirit of God, we need to be controlled. The Dasani has nothing to do with it, it's just the bottle I had. So in order to be able to walk in the Spirit of God, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, this represents somebody who's walking in the Spirit, all right? This is going to represent somebody who's walking in the flesh. You get the idea? Now, I want you to see this. This is somebody who's walking in the flesh. Here's what happens. So we're walking, these two people are walking not together necessarily, they're going through their day, all right? They're going through their day, and lo and behold, somebody cuts them off in traffic. Ah! And then they get home, and their wife tells them that they dented the car. Ah! And then they go back to work the next day, and their boss tells them that they're going to cut their hours and cut their pay and does some, you get the idea. Now, look, I want you to stop and think about this, all right? Same things, these people going through the exact identical circumstances. But can you understand very quickly that, do I have any volunteers, by the way, to come up and let me open these? I would get plenty of volunteers on this side, wouldn't I? Sure, you'll let me open this water right over your head. No big deal. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what this person goes through. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are controlled by the Spirit of God, when we have the Spirit of God deciding the direction, the attitude, the thoughts, the intent of our heart, it doesn't matter what life does to us. We have a peace that passes understanding. But you be this person, and life constantly irritates you and frustrates you. In Sunday school this morning, remember Sunday school? I told you I had an illustration for you today. This is that illustration about irritation and frustration and all those things. This is the way I fear. Here, let's how about this? Because this actually happened tonight. So you walk into church, and somebody's sitting in your seat. Now, I don't know about you, but at that moment, I want to be going to church with this guy. Do you understand? I want this guy to be the guy whose seat I have accidentally taken. Because if it's this guy, we're all in trouble. You get the idea? The Bible is saying to you and I, and do you know any Christians that are like this? Don't point, just think. Do you know any Christians that are like this? Every time that life frustrates them and irritates them, it's like, uh-oh, when are they going to blow? And I want to tell you, the problem is not one of habit. It is not one, I mean, that may be part of the issue, but that's not the problem. The problem is one of these guys is controlled by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit, letting the Spirit and the Word of God decide how he should act, how he should react, how he should respond to circumstances. And one of these guys is filled with his own fleshly desires. And I don't know about you, but I want this guy to be my pastor. Right? I want this to represent my wife. I want this to represent the father of my children. You understand? I have too often been this guy. And it's not good for anybody. It's just not. So I want us to look at what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. To let the Spirit of God have such an impact on our lives that it doesn't matter if we go through seismic proportions of change. Is he going to do it? No. I don't trust that over this carpet, right? But you get the idea. I don't care if it's water, big deal. Right? He, this guy, can have seismic shifts in his life, and nobody gets really that worried. Because he's still going to respond the same. But if this guy has something major happen in his life, we're in trouble. It's time that God's people, would you agree, would fulfill what God is asking us to do in chapter 5 and verse 18 of the book of Ephesians. Let's look at it again. And be not drunk with wine. By the way, as just a simple understanding of this sentence, who has the responsibility to fulfill this obligation? You and I, right? It's not on somebody else. It's you and I. This isn't, it's not God's fault if we're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. It is us. We're the ones getting in the way, right? You and I are called upon by God, in fact, commanded by God to cooperate with him in this thing. So, you know, teenager, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your dad is one of these guys. You can still be that guy down there. And if you are that guy down there, it doesn't matter how much life shakes you up. Your dad might explode, but you're never going to get that water to explode. Unless, of course, you boil it. I know. As soon as I say that, there's some scientist in the room says, all right, you get the idea. All right, I know the illustration lacks, all right, but you get the idea. That you can shake that bottle forever, and it's not going to explode. But this one's making everybody nervous right about now. I mean, I can see some of you are like really worried. It's like, man, you know, it is what it is. And if you know somebody like this, you're on pins and needles around them all the time. How would you like to be the lady that's married to that guy? How would you like to be the lady that's married to that guy? Living your life on pins and needles. Because you never know when it's going to be the thing that's going to make him blow. This guy has a problem. And the problem is that he's not letting the Spirit of God do what's supposed to happen. So let's take a look at it again, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, still put on you, but be you, commandment, you must have some obligation, something to do with this. Now, I'm aware that, you know, God's work is God's work, and sanctification, et cetera, all this process that we're going through, it is the work of God in our lives. And I'm aware of how the sovereignty of God works, all right? I know that God is in control. I'm aware of that. But it is the sovereign God of heaven who gave men free will. Do you understand? It is the sovereign God of heaven who said, I am so sovereign that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish through giving men free will. And he gives you the opportunity. If you don't believe that, then how could we ever rebel? What does it mean to say, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to what? Well, wait a minute. If it's just doing what God said, if it's just God mapped out everything and we're just going what God said, we're not going our own way. No, God is so sovereign that he gives man a free will and still works out his will through it. It's an amazing thing about how powerful our God is. So he says to Christians who have already bowed the knee and trusted Christ as their Savior, Christians who already have the Spirit of God indwelling them, he says to Christians, be ye filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God control your life. It is time that Christians stop reacting to life and instead know what it means to have the peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. So that no matter what life dishes out, there's still the same calm. There's still the same response. Because the response of that person has nothing to do with the circumstances that they're in. It has to do with who's in control on the inside. Are you and I being controlled, led by the Spirit of God? So he likens it here. I know this is a strange likeness, and it may not be the likeness that you feel comfortable choosing, but God's the one that chose it, not you or I. He says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he literally then ties this likeness to the same response that people have when they are reacting to alcohol. It's kind of a strange thing. You've heard this before. This is not a new part of the sermon of any kind. But, you know, alcohol, which, by the way, I don't know firsthand, all right? I've never been drunk. To my knowledge, I've never knowingly taken alcohol into my body, all right? Other than maybe in medication. I have taken cough syrup in the past, and I'm going to assume there's alcohol in that. I don't know. But I don't drink of any, I don't drink of any kind. And so I don't know this, but I've watched enough people who do to know that when people drink, it affects every aspect of their being. The way they think, the way they speak. It's amazing how people who drink start talking. And they say things they would never say under other circumstances. It affects the way they see things. Because eventually they see those pink elephants, you know. It affects the things that they do. Inhibitions are gone, and all of a sudden they're willing to do things that they never would have done before. Every aspect of their being is being impacted by this alcohol, and God says to us as believers, I want every aspect of your life to be impacted by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So that now what is coming out of your mouth, still in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29, is no corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Now, all of a sudden, the way we're acting, the things that we're doing. Remember that old song? We sang this at camp, by the way, teenagers. One of those old children's church songs. The things I used to do. Thank you. One person, Josh, was listening. I don't do them anymore. I don't. I mean, has there been a change in your life? And if not, why not? Well, I could give you a possible reason. Maybe it is that the flesh still has way too much control rather than the Spirit. Because when the Spirit steps into our life in a controlling fashion, every aspect of our lives are impacted. And the things we used to do, and the way we used to dress, and the place we used to go, and the things we used to say, things we thought about, things we desired to watch on television, all began to be impacted by the Spirit of God. And when we allow the Spirit of God to have control, Christian, don't you want this? See, I mean, I want to be that kind of a Christian so that when life slaps me upside the head, I'm not really impacted. Hello? If we're not going to allow the Spirit of God to impact the way we speak and the way we talk, or the way we walk, the way we act, the way we react, then let's not pretend that when life does something to us, we're going to all of a sudden have this kind of a response. It's not the way it works. You and I have got to be willing to let God do this work. And so he says to his people, you need to cooperate with me here. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. So let's kind of walk ourselves back through this. Go back to verse 15, and we'll kind of walk through some things that we can see from what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then we're going to look over Galatians, and we'll be done. Verse 15, if you don't mind, I'm going to open this and take a drink. And notice that nothing happens. All that shaking. My wife is saying, yeah, John, would you please listen to this sermon, become that guy. See then that you walk circumspectly. So when we're filled with the Spirit, it's going to have this impact. And he's kind of given us a description. And he says, how do we get to this point? How do we walk circumspectly? And he ends it up with, be filled with the Spirit. And walk circumspectly, I like to understand it this way. It's like walking a tightrope, all right? If I'm just walking down that aisle, I've got a lot of freedom. I can move all over the place. And we say this about the Christian life. We think that living the Christian life is liberty. And it is, by the way. It's freeing. I have no concern about the impact of sin if I'm choosing the right way. But the Christian life has with it a limiting factor. When I choose to walk circumspectly, then every place that I put my foot is important. If I'm walking circumspectly, it's like walking that tightrope. Not that, please hear me out, it's not like God is like this unforgiving, unyielding God who is, if you fall off the tightrope, then you're in trouble. It's not that kind of a thing, but he wants us to walk circumspectly, to be careful where we put our foot, lest, we could throw a vernacular in there, but I won't. We need to be careful, because where we place our foot, spiritually speaking, the things that I say and the responses that I have to people around me, they're important. And I need to walk circumspectly to be careful that the step that I take is not going to lead me away from the things of God. To walk in the Spirit is to walk according to the Word of God. So I'm going to watch TV. What should I watch? Well, what does the Bible say? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm going to look at the internet. I could use the same verse, right? I'm going to develop a friendship. I could figure out that, verses that say, if you're of a companion of a fool, stop, fill in the blank. All those verses that talk about, if you hang out with an angry man, wow, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And so I need to walk circumspectly. It does matter. The decisions that I make in my life do matter. They matter to my children. They matter to your children. They matter to the congregation of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. And if we are not walking according to the Word, then we are walking in the flesh. And we're setting ourselves up to be this guy right here. So one of the aspects of walking in the Spirit, of being filled with the Spirit, is to walk circumspectly. Keep going, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is what it looks like. He's going to give them the things to do and then tell them the how-to at the end. Be filled with the Spirit. So we are to redeem the time. We are to invest our time wisely. I teach a Bible class at Suburban Christian School for their juniors and seniors. And so we'll be doing this again this year if anybody happens to be a junior or senior at Suburban this year. I've got a couple of them that are going to be here this year. So I will, at some point in our study this year, we will hand out a test. And here's the way I did it. I'm kind of giving away my secret now, so you guys keep it to yourself. But here's the way I did it. How many of you watched 10 hours of television last week? And you'd be amazed how many people say, oh, no, I didn't watch that much television. So, okay, I set them up for it. How many watched 20 hours? How many watched 10 hours, et cetera, et cetera? Then I said, okay, let's go through one day at a time. I want you to write down what you watched on TV on Monday. And it's just Friday, so all they have to do is remember Monday to Friday. And so they start writing down. Now write down what you watched on Tuesday. Now what you watch on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, by the way, if we were to add to that Facebook time and then add to that time surfing the net, and then add to that Instagram, and then add to that, by the time you get to Friday, how many hours, not minutes, hours have been consumed? Can I point this out to you? If we're living according to this concept, walking according to the Word of God, then we ought to be redeeming our time. Would you agree? To redeem something means to buy something back that you've sold or given away. And I really think that we have given away our lives in many cases. We are a society consumed. Please, I'm not. I own an iPhone. I'm not against technology, all right? I have a Facebook account. I do. By the way, if you want to contact me, doing it through Facebook is probably not your best bet, because I don't. It's not like I get on it all the time, but I have a Facebook account. I'm not against technology, but I have been flabbergasted to watch this out in our parking lot every day for the last 3 weeks. Pastor Andrew can confirm this. People, adult people, grown people, drive into our parking lot, get out. Tell me what they're doing. Pokemon. Oh, because there's a Pokemon right at the front of our church, and there's a Pokemon at our church sign. And you get close enough to it, and bingo, you get something. I don't know what you get. I don't even care. I'm not that I'm against games. I play games. I love playing games, all right? I'm not against this stuff. I'm not. But I'm watching adult people driving around, driving, getting in their car and driving around for the purpose of what? I mean, if I'm getting paid for this, that's another story, right? I'll do that for anybody. If you want to pay me for it, I'll do it for you. Give me your phone, I'll collect Pokemons for you. We'll work out a deal, right? But just to do it, I don't get it. And I'm looking at this, and again, I'm not against you having some fun and enjoying life and all those kinds of things, but there's a point at which we've got to redeem the time. And when we're spending hours and finding at the end of the week that we've got 14, 15, 27, I'm not making this up. I had teenagers who had 30-plus hours of technology time the last time we did this 2 years ago. 30-plus hours in a 5-day period. And guess who's struggling to have their devotions? It's not the teenager who has all this extra time. So much extra time, they can put 30 hours into television and Facebook. And when we are walking in the Spirit, we're walking according to the Word of God. And what the Word of God tells me is we ought to redeem the time, because the days are evil, because there's important things that need to be done. And so we redeem the time. Let's keep going, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we do that, Pastor John? Everybody wants to know what God's will is. It's like the big secret. If I could tell you one question I have to answer more than anything else as a pastor is, what does God want me to do? Fill in the blank for what the scenario is. It's always, I've got this. What, Pastor, do you think God wants me to do? And it's always the same answer. You know how God reveals his will? First, primary, and foremost, how does God reveal his will? His will. Through his word. So my first question to them is, well, how often are you reading your Bible? Because guess what? That's where God's going to show you his will. First and foremost. Primary place. Not your pastor. Your pastor is not the primary source of God's will for your life. He's not. It is the Spirit of God using the Word of God in your life. That's what God wants to do. And so he sums this up with, how do we do all this? Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let's go on to verse 19. Let me show you something. That this is the result now. We've chosen. We're going to start redeeming the time. We've chosen. We're going to start walking circumspectly. We've chosen. We're going to seek out God's will in his word. We've chosen. We're going to let God's Spirit be in control rather than how we feel about stuff all the time. Because how we feel is confusing. I mean, I've told you this story before. I'm not making this up. I wish I were making it up. But I've had a man sit in my office and tell me that he felt it was God's will for him to divorce his wife and marry someone else. Hello. Does anyone else see a problem with this? God does. God does. Well, you know, if we're going to base what we do on how we feel, then we're going to have a problem come tomorrow morning. Because I promise you, you're not going to feel like getting up and going to work tomorrow morning. But I'm guessing that God wants you to take care of your family. I'm not guessing. God tells me. So that's what you should do, right? But we live by our feelings. But look what happens when we finally say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you be in control. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's that next word? What? Singing. There's an Old Testament verse in Psalms. Somebody can tell me where it's at because I can't remember it. But it says, he hath put a new song in my mouth. You remember that verse? You remember what the rest of it says? And men shall, what's the word? See it. Brother Bill, you're right. Men shall see, huh? They see, do you see the song coming out of my mouth? What does that mean? It's the attitude that comes with it. And men shall see it and glorify the Lord. That's what happens. And when we cooperate with the Spirit of God, there's an attitude adjustment that begins to take place. We're no longer controlled by how we feel. Because we don't always feel like pleasant. We don't always feel like being sweet and kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. But when we are instead allowing the Spirit of God to live through us, and we're being controlled by the Spirit of God, then it doesn't matter what men do. I still find myself able to be, go ahead and answer that. I find myself able to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath. So he says, guess what follows this being Spirit-controlled? Teenager, guess what follows? You can quit being grumpy, all right? You can. So I can't be quit being grumpy. It's my personality. Then put your personality aside and let the Spirit of God live through you. Because when the Spirit of God works in us, teenager, we begin to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. And what does it say, the rest of it? And making melody where? In our hearts unto the Lord. Hey, it's time that God's people act like God would have them to act. And it will happen when God's people allow the Spirit of God to be in control. The end result, well, I'm not a singer. Okay, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? But the end result is an attitude adjustment. And it goes on. It's an amazing thing. Look how it works. What's verse 20 say? What's the first word? What is it? What is it? Giving what? Thanks. Giving thanks. Mom and Dad, you want to have a cheerful home? It starts with us. It does. And it's time for us. You know, it's an amazing thing when God's people are controlled by the Spirit of God. You know what begins to happen? They begin to sing, praise God. And they begin to be thankful for what they have. Have you ever encountered one of these people in the hospital, dying? You ever encountered one of those? They're in the hospital, and they're dying. And you go to visit them before they breathe their last breath. And they praise the Lord. And they encourage you. You went to be an encouragement, and you walk away encouraged. Have you ever encountered one of these people who got bad news from a doctor? Who in bitterness and anger spew out horrible vitriol against the God of heaven? How could God let this happen? It's an amazing difference, isn't it? We want to be this guy, controlled by the Spirit of God. It's not easy. It means dying to ourselves and letting Him live through us. It means taking up your cross and dying daily. That's what it is. It's a daily routine. Today, I die and let the Spirit of God have control. But if I do that, I begin to give thanks. Let's go on. Keep reading what it says. What's the next verse? Verse 21. What's that first word? Submitting. Now, help me here. What's another word that goes with submitting? If I'm going to submit to authority, then what else has to be true about my attitude? Say it out loud. Humble. You say, you know, I really struggle. Now, you know my story. I have my issues with authority in my past. I do. I struggle sometimes with that. And I have struggled so much that I've let myself be arrested. That's how much I struggled with it. You know, I just was dug in my heels. Nobody's going to tell me. And yet, and I was a Christian, by the way. And yet, when we let the Spirit of God control us, one of the immediate results of being controlled by the Spirit of God is this praising, thankful person finds it easy to submit to those around them. And it goes on, by the way, it's not submitting yourself to authority. That's not the verse says. What does it say? Submitting yourselves one to another. It makes it easy for me to fulfill that statement in Philippians chapter 2. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. It's easy for me to do that if I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. But when I'm living by my feelings, then I think you ought to do what I want to do. Be reasonable. Do it my way. Make me happy. You better do this or your pastor... Can you imagine what it'd be like to have a pastor who you had to walk around on pins and needles? Maybe you can't imagine. Don't tell me. Imagine what that is. Imagine what it's like for our families to tiptoe around our feelings. Don't you think it's time that we submit to the Spirit of God? Be not drunk with wine, or is it excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.